2 weeks, almost to the hour, since a double murder devastated one of the most powerful, most prominent, and most private families in South Carolina. Tonight, movement in the Murdaugh case on multiple fronts, and a new look at more than one violent death from the past. And then later, one of the most creative, one of the funniest actors on the screen. He won 2 Emmys for Veep, and he stole every scene in Arrested Development. From character voices on Toy Story to that guy jamming to Mr. Roboto, the remarkable Tony Hale, tonight on Banfield. Hello and welcome to Banfield, the South Carolina police agency that 1 week ago promised transparency in its search for the killer or killers of Paul and Maggie Murdaugh has now issued a new statement from the chief himself. Here's what it reads. I urge the public to be patient and let the investigation take its course, he writes. This case is complex and we will not rush this or any investigation. Investigative decisions we make throughout this case must withstand the scrutiny of the criminal justice process. SLED agents continue to interview possible witnesses, collect and process potential evidence, and investigate every lead with the same diligence we devote to every case, end quote. Those interviews, leads, and bits of evidence remain undisclosed. But tonight, we know of several developments that police are not yet ready to talk about. We know investigators have carried out a search warrant at Paul Murdaugh's college apartment, and that they have spent some time in a river some 2.5 miles from the Murdaugh family hunting lodge, where Paul and his mother Maggie were found shot to death 2 weeks ago tonight. It's now come out to reporters that members of the boating party that ended with the death of Mallory Beach in 2019 have all given DNA samples to aid in the Murdaugh case, as has Alec Murdaugh, Paul's father and Maggie's husband. Paul, at 22, was facing trial in that case when he himself was killed. Paul's uncles have revealed that young Paul had received threats before his own death. And the mother of a young man who was brutally killed way back in 2015, 6 years ago, says that police have now contacted her about the Murdaugh murders and possible motive. I'm joined tonight by a pair of intrepid reporters. Michael Schur is national correspondent for News Nation, and Andrew Davis is investigative reporter for WSAV-TV in Savannah. Andrew, let me begin with you. There have been a lot of developments that have come out today, not the least of which is this statement and then this very redacted, and I'm just going to show what it looks like how redacted this report is. And when I show each of these pages, it's almost like it's not worth showing it at all. That's just a short sort of précis of the statement. But they are really not releasing anything other than we responded to the double murder scene, collected some shell casings, and set up a perimeter. Why is it so redacted?
Well, that's a question I think a lot of people have, whether you're in Hampton, whether you're here in any part of Beaufort County and beyond, is why are we getting no information whatsoever? The question that we started with was he initially came out and said there is no worry about a suspect. There's no danger to the community. Yet at the same point, we don't have a suspect right now. And then they turned around later and said, well, now we actually may have misspoken when we said that. Then they offered a tip line later on after saying there was sort of no need for the public to get involved. The entire town of Hampton is incredibly quiet. That entire area of Colleton County and Hampton County, where the Murdaughs are involved in, are incredibly quiet because they have so much power, so much influence there, and many people feel that they've almost had too much over this time and have used it to their advantage and to disadvantage of many other people. So there are a lot of people who won't speak about this, who aren't going to speak for fear of some sort of retaliation out there, whatever that may be, even though we don't know of anything of the sort. He was involved with law enforcement, Randolph, the elder Randolph there, along with Alex and everybody else in that family. You know, Paul was sort of the bad seed, as it was, which people knew somewhere. And he's the one who ended up in trouble with this family. And that's really the question that many people have is, why Paul? Why the mother? And the rumor mill is just spinning right now, Ashley. And that's really the problem that we're confronted with, is there are so many theories. There's so many little pieces of information that are coming out, and no one knows truly what the answer is about what happened. And that's what's baffling a lot of people in town. They want some sort of information. And a release that comes out looking like this is not going to help anybody out there. When we got it earlier today, I said, great, we're going to get new information, until you look at it and realize all it offers is there were officers that came to the scene, found two bodies on the ground, which were Paul and Maggie. And then they put up a tent and started asking, does anybody have any video cameras? Because my understanding so far from people in the know is that there were no video cameras on that property, or very few that may point to anything in that hunting lodge, to try to give people any sense of what happened.
Well, that is very distressing, Andrew, to hear that, because we had certainly hoped that in their investigation, at least other residences even might have some, you know, Ring.com cameras that could have seen vehicles coming and going at that time of the night. Michael Shore, let me turn my attention to you for a moment. This was particularly interesting to me. Once Paul was killed, murdered, clearly the civil suit regarding the boating incident that he was alleged to have caused as a BUI, a boating under the influence, those charges would fall away, but the civil suit was continuing. But now we're learning from some of the local reporting there that a state grand jury is being convened, and that it's actually going to examine whether there was some obstruction of justice on the part of Paul's dad, Alec Murdoch, and Paul's grandfather. Do you know anything about that? And I understand asking you that. That's a hard question, because no one behind you in that building is talking.
No one in this building behind me, Ashley, is talking. But it's a question that's being asked, because they did speak to people in this building behind me. And just to point out, this is where the Colleton County Sheriff's Department is, in the law enforcement center here in Walterboro, South Carolina, which is about an hour from Hampton, and about 25 miles from where Islington is, which is where the murders happened. One thing to keep in mind is that this sheriff's department on two occasions recused themselves from an investigation. It paints a picture of just how influential the Murdoch family was and is in this part of the country. So they had to recuse themselves because too many of them had had interactions professionally and familiarly with the Murdoch family. So that's what leads people to think that, okay, there may have been obstruction of justice, because there was such a closeness between this, you know, this very entrenched family here in this part of South Carolina and the law enforcement here. They've been prosecutors here literally since 1920. They've been solicitors in this county and four other counties in South Carolina. So all of this goes to paint the picture that, yes, there may have been obstruction of justice in that case. One thing to point out, though, Ashley, is that Paul, the late now Paul Murdoch, who was implicated in that and who did have those three BUI counts against him and was going to face some sort of a trial and imprisonment, it was likely, Paul Murdoch was not part of that civil suit. The family of the deceased in that boating accident from 2019 was going after the family of the Murdoch family, the father and maybe even the mother, for allowing their son to become intoxicated, as well as the place where they bought that liquor that night in 2019 that allowed that to happen. It's a chain here in the Low Country of South Carolina called Parker's. It's owned by a big multinational company, but that's who they were going after. So Paul not being a part of it does mean that the case can still go forward, Ashley.
Okay, so Andrew, jump back in here. A couple of pieces of business that I just want to check through, because like you said, the rumor mill is big, but there's also the reporting mill. And there's some reports that have come out today that I think are fascinating. So to start with, this potential grand jury that is going to examine whether there was obstruction of justice. Apparently this, according to a source called The State, pertains to Paul's dad and Paul's granddad coming to the scene of the boating accident and stopping all interviews and preventing sobriety tests. Now, that can be innocuous. I know it doesn't sound like it, but to legal journalists and reporters out there who know the law, that is not unusual. If your lawyer gets to the scene, and they're lawyers, you would immediately say, don't speak until you have a lawyer, and don't submit to a breathalyzer until we know, you know, probable cause. That wouldn't be unusual, but there is this investigation. And then there's this reporting that comes from Good Morning America as well, that Alec Murdoch, that's Paul's dad, as well as Mallory Beach's entire family, as well as all of the other occupants of that boat, four other occupants, right, teenagers who were in the boat, have all submitted DNA samples to help in this double murder investigation. To me, that, listen, you don't have to have spidey senses on this one. To me, this says, Andrew, that the police are going to every potential motive point, every person who might have had a beef with the Murdoch family, and they're trying to cancel them out of motive. Does that, is there any other reporting or information that would clear these people, or are they all still under the umbrella?
I think they're all under the umbrella because I don't think they really have a great sense on who the suspect may be. That's why you include that Beach family, who many people would believe have that beef in there, as you talked about, to do it. But everything that I've known about the Beach family is, while they are incredibly upset, devastated by what happened to Mallory, they have had a year and a half to deal with it, and they have handled it very calmly. Obviously, the civil suit is one of the focuses, but they wanted to see Paul go to justice. And I, whether they could be responsible for this, I would personally be surprised from only talking to them briefly that I have. You know, the other question that you talked about, the Murdoch family being at the scene, how did they get to the scene so quickly considering the situation was still going on? I talked to a maritime expert today who stayed anonymous with me, but in fact, we were speaking of it, and he said, I wonder if that crash didn't happen a little earlier than what we thought. Did he call his dad before the police were called, before the DNR were called in? And that's still a question that some people have out there, that he could get there faster than so many of the law enforcement officials that happened. And how exactly did that happen? So that's where some of those people want that investigation to continue out from everything that's gone on. The solicitor's office here locally, who does cover five different counties, as you spoke earlier, the predecessor to, or excuse me, the gentleman, Duffy Stone, who's now currently the solicitor here, has said he's right now not going to recuse himself, even though Alec has worked for his office before, mostly as his statement he just released a few minutes ago, saying, to my knowledge, there's no clear suspect in this case at this time. As such, speculation about the propriety of my office's involvement is precisely that, speculation. But as we talked about, there's a lot of speculation. The woman that you're speaking of from Hampton County that happened years ago, Paul Murdaugh has never been directly connected to her in this case as far as investigators are sold. But it's very interesting that they would come to her to try to get a DNA sample, to try to get some information, because is that mean they're connecting it back to Paul somewhere later on? Because that has been a huge rumor in this community that Paul was involved
okay.
in that.
So let me be clear. Yeah, let me be clear on the, I think who you're talking about right now is Sandy Smith. I think we have a picture of Sandy Smith holding up a picture of her son, Stephen Smith. And let me just be really clear to our viewers. There's reporting that Sandy Smith was called by the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. There's Sandy Smith and there is her son. In 2015, her son was killed in what was considered a hit and run, a criminal homicide investigation, according to Sandy Smith, who told reporters was never opened. She's very upset about that. But she recently got a call from the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division asking about the Murdaughs. And the reason there's any connection at all is because there is also reporting that there were tips that came in after the hit and run of her son that pointed towards Paul Murdaugh and his brother Buster. So we can't confirm or deny that. We have tried to reach out to Sandy Smith. We cannot get her to confirm that. There is reporting that suggests the reason she received this phone call from SLED definitely says that SLED is worried about a motive of everybody with a connection. So they have made the connection, if there is any connection at all. And she, for her part, Sandy Smith said this was a slap in the face, that she's getting a call about motive regarding the murder of Sandy.
Sandy's never directly pointed at Paul at any point in time in any interview she's ever done. That's why it's surprising to see her even get connected in any form, whether it's in this reporting and according to what's going on there. You know, but that's the question that so many people in this community have. Paul Murdaugh was never brought to jail at any point in time to be booked for these charges. His mugshot was taken in the hallway of the courthouse after his hearing, and he was in a polo shirt. He never had to be booked. He never had to be fingerprinted. And it made a lot of people angry beyond the Beach family to see this family who has so much influence get away with something else and not have this young boy, guilty or not, at least have to face the same questions and the same situations right. that anybody else in the same situation would be in.
Okay, so Michael Schur, just quickly, two more points that I want to cover in the most recent developments, and that is that last week, SLED agents were seen out with divers at the, and pardon my pronunciation, the Salcahatchie River, about 2.5 miles south of the property where the two bodies were found. But then more recently, apparently SLED agents got a warrant to go through Paul's apartment where he was going to college. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, and that's in Columbia, South Carolina, the capital of the state. And they allegedly saw a door open in his room and were able to get a warrant to go into that room. You know, again, there, what we're hearing is very cryptic. We're hearing little bits and pieces, as you often do in cases like this. But because there are so many people involved, and you're going back to cases in 2019, cases where this family wasn't even implicated, like the Stephen Smith case, there's so many, you know, parts to this case. Putting them all together, if it's a big deal for us, imagine what it's like for SLED to do that. That said, that we can follow a few of the crumbs here. If we're following the crumbs to that river, it could be that they're looking for weapons that may have been there. It's alleged that these people, though it hasn't been confirmed, were shot with two different kinds of weapons. The mother and the son were shot, one with a rifle, a high power rifle, and the other was an assault weapon. We haven't had confirmation of that. When you go through these redacted statements today, you see not very many contradictions, but you do see some places where they're talking about the residences, but you don't see whether or not there was a forced entry into the residence at Moselle, which was their hunting lodge in the sort of straddles Colleton and Hampton counties here. And then when you look further into those, you also see that sometimes that address is put forward, and then there is another address that they don't show. They do say that they're looking for videotape, like you were saying, Ashley, Ring, perhaps, any kind of surveillance from neighbors. But again, neighbors are few and far between out in this unincorporated part of Colleton County. So seeing that might just show you a car flying by. It might show you something else, but they're not saying at all what they're finding. The only solid, sort of report that we have is that they were in Columbia and they were at that river, the river that we're not going to try and pronounce again, saying that they are looking into those, and we can only surmise what could be going on there.
All right, Michael Schur and Andrew Davis, thank you so much for your reporting. We're going to stay on this story because these developments continue to hit the news on an hourly basis. And just ahead, my experts, former FBI profiler and current star of two Investigation Discovery series, Candace DeLong is going to join me, as well as forensic scientist Larry Koblinski. Their read on this latest information is next. Welcome back. We are breaking down what we know of the Murdaugh murders with two preeminent voices. Larry Koblinski rules the forensic science arm of the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. And Candace DeLong is a former FBI profiler and host of Deadly Women and Facing Evil, both on Investigation Discovery. Welcome to you both. Candace, I'm going to begin with you. I showed this the last block. This is the latest statement from SLED, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. And page after page, pitch black. Literally, what was the point of even releasing it? There are a couple of lines that are helpful. We already knew what was in them. Shell casings were found, two bodies, crime scene, tape surrounding. Why would they be so hush about this particular case?
Because they have something. They know something. They're on the trail. It sounds like they're on a good trail that they believe is going to lead them to the solution of this crime. And it would be not helpful at all for the public to know that.
So, Larry, we already talked about casings. That's a no-brainer. The casings will be a huge part of the evidence. But whatever else they have, they're not saying. I did see one little piece they didn't redact, and that was that a tow truck was called and towed a blank to the lockup, right? And they're going to process that, but nothing much more than that. It's at the impound, and I'm assuming they're going to look for anything they can in the vehicle that was left, but no killer is going to leave his or her vehicle there.
Well, you know, vehicles get impounded, and the crime scene people go through it with a fine-tooth comb. They'll collect DNA and trace evidence and determine who is driving the vehicle. If the vehicle is linked somehow to this double homicide, they'll have DNA evidence from that vehicle.
So So, Candace, the SLED officers who were at the young man's apartment, the victim, Paul Murdaugh, his apartment where he went to college, you know, there is reporting that they took a computer out of there. That would not be surprising. You would want to know who he was, you know, contacting at the last time he was using the computer. What else would they look for in his apartment?
Well, all kinds of, I would imagine they're looking for evidence of other kind of people that were in there. If they find evidence, DNA, hair, fingerprints of people that were in his room, that matches any kind of evidence that they found at the crime scene or in the car that you just recently mentioned, that would be very illuminating.
Candace DeLong and Larry Kublinski, thank you so much. We're going to continue following this story because, like I said, developments are regular. And when we come back after the break, one of the hardest working comedy actors today, his name is Tony Hale. Is there a chance the show Veep could come back? I'm going to ask him about that next.